I'm with Richard Keeping, who is
chief chemist here. At,
I was going to say that.
Still for another 6 weeks or whatever.
Richard, you've got a lifetime of experience, which is why I wanted to catch you before you retire. And I wanted to ask you some questions about flour in particular. And I specialise in baking sourdough. So for me, there are some questions that I just want to, I understand enough about, but I want to understand more about. So one of the questions I wanted to ask you is, there's a lot of noise made about the ash content of flour, which effectively is the minerals left over after it's been burnt. But what does that denote? It effectively decides just how much of the whole grain has been taken out. Is that all it means, or is there more to it than that?
Indirectly, it does. I mean, the ash content, you're right, is the mineral content. So it's largely derived from the soil in which the wheat was grown. So more minerals in the ground, you're going to get more minerals in your wheat grain. But within the wheat grain itself, yes, there are parts of the wheat grain, and the important bit is the alerone layer, which is just between the bran and the endosperm, the floury bit in the middle, where these minerals are concentrated. So you'll have less of them in the endosperm, in the flower, than you will on the outer edges, if you like. So the way to concentrate it is to use more of that alerone layer. Now, that's if you want the minerals, and I would suggest that probably people aren't getting nutritionally the minerals they need from the flour and bread they eat. It's from elsewhere, it's other foods. So from a nutritional point of view, I wouldn't have thought wheat and flour are that important. But, of course, they are a source of different minerals. And certainly trace elements, like things like selenium, then flour can be an important source of those. But if you're looking at something like iron, for instance, I'm quite certain that most Western diets will derive their iron from vegetables and other sources rather than from wheat and flour and bread.
When you say the trace elements, depending on where a wheat is grown,
yes,
will depend on what kind of trace elements you're going to find
it
in
will.
There. Because obviously, for me, I often notice that organic flour has claims to have more trace minerals in than non-organic.
Well, that will depend entirely on where it's grown, not the fact that it's grown organically necessarily, but from the soil it's grown in. There was a baker I came across a few years ago now in Norfolk, trying to remember the town, who was selling bread with an enhanced selenium content because he baked it from Canadian flour. And he was quite rightly making the claim that most Canadian flours have high levels of selenium because of the soil in Western Canada where they're grown, compared with UK-grown wheat. So that sort of claim, I said, well, you can't really make a health claim because there are all sorts of rules for doing that. But you can say that the flour from which this was baked has higher levels of selenium. So those sorts of things you can do. Whether you could say the same for all other trace elements, I doubt. And, you know, the work, I guess, hasn't been done.
What sort of range of trace elements would you expect to find in a general wheat?
Well, you would find all sorts of elements, not just things like iron, but traces like iodine, for instance. Now, if the soil was somewhere near the sea, and you've got seaweed, then you're going to have more iodine. And you can say this for most of the elements that you'll find. If you look hard enough, I dare say you could find almost all the elements that are naturally present in the soil. Eventually, you'd find some in the plants that are growing in it, particularly wheat. Which ones were you particularly thinking of? Which trace elements do you think are important?
I've read quite a lot recently about deficiencies in iron and magnesium. Zinc and magnesium.
Right.
I've read recently that there's a deficiency in a large majority of the population. And then I happened to be over at NIAB, and they were growing specific strains of wheat that would take up larger quantities of those minerals. And
well,
I wondered if you'd ever come across any particular sort of wheat that was more nutritious than others, which you sort of mentioned earlier with the selenium.
Well,
but I wonder if in your career, if there were some that were more
not
nutritious.
Not really, not that you could pin down. I mean, I'm a bit surprised that magnesium is on your list, because depending on where you are, a lot of magnesium would be in the water supply.
Mm. In terms of the effect on the bread itself, Richard, what's the effect of a good, you know, of a good mineral content?
Well, in terms of processing and making up the dough and baking the bread, nothing at all, really. You wouldn't, because it's the minerals are there in such small quantities, there would be little effect from the minerals themselves. Now, if you're using a flour with enhanced levels of minerals by including this aleurone layer, concomitantly with that, you'll include other parts of the grain. So that would have an effect on processing. So if you've got a higher extraction rate flour, as we call it, in other words, with more and more of the wheat grain included, up to wholemeal, if you like, then yes, you'd have an effect. You get a different sort of loaf. A wholemeal is different from a patent flour loaf with only 40% extraction compared to 70 whatever that we're doing for normal bread making flours, white flours. So there will be an effect, but that largely the effect on the handling, if you like, of the dough isn't from the minerals themselves, it's from the gluten proteins. That's what gives you the gluten properties, what makes a loaf stand up and retain the gas.
So going back to the question of why it is that on many bread making forums people get excited about the ash content, specifically when it's to do with sourdough, can you enlighten me as to why this might be? And you're looking like what utter nonsense as well.
I'm a little bit sceptical, because I can't see that ash per se is going to be of any great benefit to you. But,
why
you
use
know,
it then? What it says, which is what percentage of the whole grain is there?
One of the reasons is that on the continent of Europe, ash is used as a control measure on the flour mill. So they work to ash contents. So you'll have, in French, Italian, or whatever flours, the ash content displayed. So if you've seen type 00 flour, that is the ash content. And so they're using that control of ash in order to control the milling process, whereas in this country we tend to use the colour, the reflectance of the flour, rather than the ash content. The two are related, but of course in this country we add calcium carbonate by law to the flour, and that increases the ash content considerably. So if we were looking at finished flours and measuring their ash contents, we would be clouded in our view by the presence of the calcium carbonate, which is in there. So, I mean, calcium is an important mineral, but again, it's arguable whether people are deriving benefit from putting calcium into flour. And we've had this through the reform of the bread and flour regulations a couple of years ago, and we ended up saying, well, we will do whatever you like, but our view is, because of the scientific committee advising DEFRA, that there is a benefit for calcium and iron in putting it into flour. And they've got the figures, they've done the demographics and everything and proved it. Whereas for the B vitamins, which are the other things we put in, there's less of a case that putting them into flour is a good idea. Anyway, we are where we are, and the bread and flour regulations are retained in their old form. So that was the view of that, you know, expert committee to the government department. And what we've always said as an industry is that we will do as you ask. You know, if it's a health thing, of course, you know, it's the law. We just will, of course, put whatever comments you ask us to do. And that's what's happened. So whereas part of the flour milling industry thought, oh, well, we've been putting these additives in for 60 years or whatever it is, why do we still need to do so? Well, there is some evidence that you do still need to do so. So on health grounds, that was our reason as NABIM for saying that's what we think should happen.
So of course, we just could not, because of those regulations, use an ash content as a point of measure in the UK?
No, not at point of sale. We could use it in the flour mill if we wanted to mill our flour to a particular ash content, but what would be the point of doing that if we weren't making a sales or marketing opportunity from it? So we might just as well do it the way we do it.
So tell me more about this light reflecting.
Well, the colour of the reflectance of the flour.
How do you measure that, in numbers or percentage?
Yes, it's a number. So you use an instrument to measure the reflectance.
What's the instrument called?
There are two ways. Our old system was looking at grade colour, which was used in this country for donkey's years, and more recently, it must be, 3 or 4 years ago, we moved over to a tri-stimulus method on dry flour to measure the reflectance. But it's basically the brightness of the flour. So the brighter, the better. And the more of the lower grade streams at the bottom of the mill, in other words, the outer layers of the endosperm towards the bran you include, the duller, the less bright the flour becomes.
So effectively, wholemeal is dull and pure.
Well,
if
you go all the way
bright,
to wholemeal, including bran particles, yes, of course, it is darker. But if you're just looking at white flour, the lower grade streams are darker white or grey in colour. So the more of you put those in, the darker the flour will become. And that's, historically, has been looked on as a poor attribute. Brightness is to be encouraged, darkness of flour, not so. And, you know, centuries ago, white bread was looked on as being much more desirable than plain old wholemeal. How times have changed.
Well, it's funny you should say that,
because the other way.
I was just thinking how medieval, and I've got this medieval peasant's blend.
Oh. Peasant blend. Well, that, yes, I don't know what it is. Well, this is wholemeal, isn't it?
Well, we'll be able to have a look at that later on.
Yes.
You're smiling.
Broad bean and pea flour in with it.
It's very lively. It's the nitrogen in the peas.
Well, that looks like a fairly fine wholemeal, yes.
We'll have a look. Yeah, we'll have a look later.
Very good. Very good.